Have your Bible. I'm going to give you three guesses where we're going. Philippians chapter 3. These are familiar verses of Scripture. Amen. But I don't think I'm through squeezing the orange. There's still juice in it, so we're going to go after it a little longer. See, I still believe if we do that that is necessary, accomplish that that's possible, then we will be doing the impossible. And I think that's what the Bible said we're supposed to do as God's people. He said, my people will be strong and do great exploits. Amen. Whoa. Didn't say my people be hollering about the devil been on me all day long. That used to be a mark of greatness in the church of God. If the devil was on you, that meant you was living right. Bless God. And then people actually thought they were impressing folks. And what happened was somebody said testimony sounded good, so everybody started using it. Kind of like the coach got to the football team. He started meeting with the players, the new coach. And this one guy walked in. He jumped up, and he grabbed the basket and slammed it in the wall. He said, if that guy knocks me down, I'm getting back up. And if he knocks me down, I'm going to get up again. I'm going to keep getting up. I'm not going to stay down. Coach just looked at him kind of, He went out. Next guy went in and said, hey, that worked for him. I'll try it. About four or five guys did it. Finally, the coach got up behind his desk, walked outside, walked out there looking through lockers and everything else. And somebody said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for the guys knocking all these other guys down. He's the one I want. So we have some people, you just hear somebody say something that sounds good, you repeat it. But letting the devil ride you is not the way to live life. Amen. My deal is take the saddle off and go. Leave him somewhere. My Bible said you're supposed to be riding him. Hello? Well, it said I shall put Satan under your feet shortly, so you're supposed to be dancing on his head. It's not a problem for God to get Satan under you. It's to keep you on top of him. Amen. Hello? That's good preaching. Ain't got nothing to do with my sermon. Amen. And I know there's food in the back. I'm sitting right now. We're hungry. I ain't going to see none of you starve in the next little while. Some of y'all, we could last a while. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love, for your mercy, for your power, for your grace. I'm asking you, God, to touch this house and minister to us, Lord, with your love. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, take your neighbor by the hand, shake it real hard and say, hey, it's just one thing. Several years ago, I was watching a movie called City Slickers. There's a bunch of dudes going to a dude ranch, and they had an old cowboy riding around with him, and he seemed to have everything going. These guys had all kind of problems. And they went to this dude ranch to try to get away from their problems. One of them had marital trouble. One of them had financial trouble. The other one about to lose his job and his wife, too, so he had both of them's trouble. And they're all talking to this guy, and finally the old guy looked at the guy one time, and he said, hey, it's just that one thing. You ever figure it out? You got life made. Paul said, hey, I haven't got there yet, but there's one thing I can do. One thing I can do. Can I tell you, church, the one thing you can do that nobody can keep you from doing is letting go of what used to be? Amen. Hello? Paul's telling us, hey, there's one thing I can do. I know I'm going to die. I can't stop that. They're going to kill me. They're sharpening the guillotine outside. I've been in this hole for several months. I'm not getting out. It's over with. I'm about to leave here. He tells the next place he writes a letter to. He said, I've run the race and I've kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not only me, but all those that make it in. But while he's there, He said, I can do this one thing for myself while I'm here. I can let go of who I used to be. I can let go of what used to be. And I can realize I've got a tomorrow coming that's awesome. And I can get excited about that tomorrow. Come on, church. Amen. But you know, I began to think about one thing. And I went back through the Bible. And I found several places where the Bible talks about one thing. Amen. Notice this. In the book of Psalms, chapter 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Amen. One thing. Desire him. Amen. Glory. So what are you talking about? There's one thing I can do. I not only can forget about the past, but I can have a desire to know him like I've never known him, to walk with him like I've never walked with him before. Could you say amen? Listen to what he said. He said, I want to be God's child, that I'll dwell in the house of God. Amen. Church, if we would get that desire just to be a child of God, amen, we got folks that want to be everything. Hello? You got people talking about, oh, I'm going to be president. I'm going to do this. Man, I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a millionaire. I ain't made it yet. But I tell you what I can do. I can be a child of God to the best of my ability. And I can desire to walk in his presence and in his power and in his glory. And if that's the desire of my life, God will give that desire to me. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. But notice this. He didn't just want to be a child of God. He said, I want to enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. He said, behold, I want to behold God's beauty. What is his beauty? His blessings. Amen. He said, I want to be his child, but if I'm his child, I'm going to have his blessings. Come on, church. Amen. You know, I get some funny people talking about, I'm a child of God. If something happens in their life, they just fall apart. Got to go get counseling, take all kind of nerve pills and everything else. That ain't required. If you sell out to God and you're serving God, you've got nothing to worry about. Come on, church. You say, now, preacher, I don't believe that. Paul also writes to one church. He said, be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Don't worry. One of the biggest problems we got in the church world today is worry. Satan understands if he can get us worrying, he's going to mess us up. Because we worry about whether we're going to have money. We worry about whether we're going to have a job. We worry about we're going to make it. But if I'm a child of God and I'm living where God wants me to, I understand I have a rock and I have a fortress and I have somebody I can hide in. And I understand that if I stand in the shadow of the Most High God, I can stand in the presence of Almighty God, and in his presence there is fullness of joy. In his presence there's power and anointing. And that's the desire. David said, I just want to see his beauty. I just want to live in his blessings. You want to mess somebody up, let them tell you something bad, look up and say, well, glory to God. You're going, that person's crazy. You know why I know that? I hear that from all y'all a lot of times. You're crazy. Well, I might be, but I am happy. Glory. Hello? I mean, I don't sit around and worry about stuff. They have tornadoes out. I'm not going to sit around and worry about the tornado getting me. If it gets me, it gets me. I was raised in Buell. We used to have them all the time. We run every time a tornado come through. We'd have spent all our time under. Hello? I know some folks that used to just sleep in the storm shelter during certain times of the year. I wasn't even a Christian back then. I wasn't that scared. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm not going to worry. Worry don't get you anywhere. Worry will mess you up. Come on, church. Amen. You know what worry will do to you? Make you bald-headed and fat. I used to worry. Lord. Hello? I never forget, I was coming home one night. It was all kind of stuff going on. And I let stuff get to me, and I was worrying. And I'm in Missouri, of all places. I'm in a state of misery. I'll be honest with you, church. If you ride Highway 55, it's okay. But anybody that's ever drove from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, to Arkansas will tell you that's the longest ride you ever made. Ain't nothing on the highway. You just And I'm about half dead. I've been preaching all night, and I'm headed home. And I got to get home because I got to go somewhere else the next day. As of a matter of fact, when I got home that night, I had to get ready to leave because the next day I had to leave going somewhere else. And I'm headed home, and I'm worried, and I'm bothered, and I've been having some chest pains. And I'm worried about if I've got heart problems. Because let's face it, heart problems run in my family. And I'm going down that road, and I'm beaming along, and all of a sudden, I had a pain hit my shoulder, went down through that hand, and said, and I'm driving, it's pouring down rain. And I'm sitting in that car, and I'm hanging on, and I'm going, oh, man. And I leaned up on the steering wheel, and I leaned back, and I'm hanging on. It starts to subside, and I'm going, oh, I'm having a heart attack. And all of a sudden, I said, I ain't going to accept that. I ain't had no heart attack. I'm beaming on down the road, and all of a sudden, both arms. I don't know what it was, but I decided I wasn't having a heart attack again. I had to pull off the road this time. I'm sitting there, it lightens. And I look out beside the car, and when it lightened, it lit up the field. I'm sitting beside a cemetery. If I ain't got it bad enough now, I figure I'm just going to go out there and find the name of Struton and just lay down by the nearest stone that fits my name. And I got this brain-dead idea. I saw a bridge up there. I thought, well, I ain't having no heart attack, and I'm fixing to prove it. I'm going to jump out, and I'm going to run that bridge. If you're ever out west and you see a bridge, understand it ain't like bridges down here. Well, when you see it, you ain't that far from it. I jumped out, took off a run in. I don't know how far it was, but it was a long way. I got drenched in the rain. I finally got up under the bridge, and I'm going, hey, I'm not having a heart attack. And I look back, the door's open, the lights are on, the car's running, and I'm going, oh, man. And I walk back in the rain. The car's full of water, seats soaking wet. I ended up with a cold that lasted for about 3 weeks, but I didn't have no heart attack. Glory. That's what worry will do to you. It'll mess you up, make you do stuff you never really do if you're thinking right. Amen. And you know what? David said, hey, this one thing I do. I desire to be in God's presence, to walk in his blessings. And notice this. I want to meditate on God's word. He said, I'm going to inquire the things of God when he goes into his temple. Amen. David started out the Psalms with, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor walk in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate both day and night. Church, can I tell you, this is the answer to every problem you got. This is the answer to every anxiety you got. This is the greatest depression breaker you'll ever find. And we need to understand, if we can meditate on the word of God, it'll set us free. Glory. I still ain't got to do my interview, and I'm loaded for them if they ever come. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but the non-religious people want the Bibles took out of all the schools and out of the motels, out of the hospital waiting rooms. They don't even want the Gideons putting a Bible anywhere. And y'all know me, I don't mind getting in conversations with somebody. And I saw some guys talking the other day, and they were talking about it. And they were kind of pro, let's do it. What's the big deal? And I said, guys, are y'all stupid? The guy looked at me and said, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, don't you understand that Satan is trying to take the word of God out of everybody's life? Well, if we leave it there, they're going to want a Quran put right beside it. I said, I got no problem with that. He said, you don't have a problem with that? I said, no, I've read the Quran. Didn't do a thing for me except show me that them innocent, supposed to be loving people are some of the most ardent murderers in the world, and they're told to do it by their Bible. Hello? If you're a Muslim, wake up, read your own Bible. It tells you you'll get the glory if you kill somebody and die doing it. My Bible doesn't tell me that. It doesn't tell me I got to kill somebody to get to heaven. It just said if I believe on him, he's already died for me. And he'll come to me and give me peace that pass all understanding. And just because I love him and serve him and read his word, I get to go to glory. Hallelujah. I don't have to die to do it. Glory. Come on, church. Some of y'all act like y'all mad now because I said something about some precious Muslim. Glory. I got news for you, honey. They wouldn't be here if Abraham hadn't been dumb. Tried to help God out, couldn't wait on a miracle. Some of y'all going, what in the world is he talking about? It's in here. It's amazing what you can find in this thing. Glory. Yeah, guys, y'all like war stories? They're in here. Girls, y'all like love stories? Oh, they in there. There's one whole book just about a guy falling in love with an ugly girl. Glory. Amen. I can see now most of y'all ain't read the Song of Solomon, but that entire book's written about the Solomon, the great king, falling in love with a girl that was ugly. I got a couple of y'all going, well, bless God, you don't have to say that. You couldn't prove it. It's in the book. She herself said, my skin is like whipped shoe leather. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but she'd been blistered so bad she'd been wrinkled up. Her brothers thought she was so bad, they said if she was a wall, we'd cover her with cedar. She's a door, we'd cover her with silver. She's ugly. Had no figure whatsoever. Second Song of Solomon 8:8. My little sister hath no breast. She just straight up and down like 6 o'clock. Nothing for anybody to want. And yet Solomon said she's the most beautiful woman he ever saw. And he got 700 wives, 355 concubines. He threw them all away and said, that's the one I want. Hello? That's a love story. Hello? And it's in the Bible. Y'all like poetry? It's in the Bible. You like mystery? It's in the Bible. Everything's there. If you'll read it, it's all there. Where do you think we got the ideas for all the literature we've done? Used to, nobody studied anything in school except this. They read in this. They learned how to count in this. Everything they'd done was based on Scripture. The New England Primer, which was the first books taught in American schools, was based totally on Scripture. Hello? Amen. Now we can't even take God to school, and they wonder why we got so much trouble there. Amen. But the reality is, church, I don't care if they put a Koran in a motel. So you thought I forgot my story, but I knew where I was at. I can't wait till they finally interview me because I'm going to tell them. Said, you know what's wrong? The reason why they want this out? I don't care if you put a Buddha book in there because it ain't really a Bible. I don't care if you put a Muslim book in there. I don't care whatever book you put in there. If you'll put this beside it, this will change lives quicker than all of them put together. And that's why they don't want these in the motels, because there is power in the Word of God to change lives. There's power in this Word to change your attitude, to change where you're headed. Oh, if we could just learn and have the desire to meditate in the Word of God, amen, that's a necessary thing that'll change our lives. Well, preacher, why is that important to us as a Christian if we're doing it? What's wrong with them? Because Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, and when he has accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things will come to pass. When we quit reading this book and we quit studying this word and it becomes non-knowledgeable to this world, Satan will take over. But as long as we have this book and as long as we have this word, we have a liberty that God has given us that makes us overcomers in the power. Glory. Listen. Notice this. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Now I got to hurry. There ain't but five of these. And then Jesus, beholding he loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, follow me. He was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The rich young ruler comes to Christ. He said, one thing you lack. One thing you can desire, but there's one thing you lack. Let me ask you something, church. Any of y'all even have any idea what the Ten Commandments are? Could you quote them? Huh? They're that important. Did you even know what they are? Oh, I know they exist. Some dude got them. They wrote on rock. God wrote them himself on the rock. Hello? But we don't even study them. But notice this. Jesus looked at that young man and said, what about the Ten Commandments? He said, I have kept them from my youth. Now, church, he didn't lie, because that's one of the Ten Commandments. But also he didn't lie about the fact he's kept them from his youth, because Christ would have known he was lying. He didn't question when he said, I've kept these from my youth. He just said, I know you're living good. You're living by those laws. You're making every sacrifice you're supposed to make. But one thing you lack. Go get rid of everything you got. Divest yourself of everything holding you back. Make me the number one desire of your heart. Make me the number one thing in your life. And when you do that, take up a cross and be willing to crucify yourself for me and get rid of you so you can become who I want you to be. That will be the greatest thing that ever happened. Can I tell you one thing most Christians lack? We've never let go of who we are. We've never let go of what we have. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, you can't be rich and be a Christian. No. Thank God for people that have gotten saved, prayed through, and give their billfold to God and said, it's all His. Whatever I have is His. Listen to what Solomon said, the richest man in the world. Said, give me neither riches nor poverty, lest I forget who God is. He said, it's His. And I don't have any of it that I'll hang on to, because nothing here is worth more than Him. Hallelujah. It's sad, but we got people working 80 hours a week trying to provide for a family that's going to die and go to hell because they won't keep them in church. What does it gain a man if he gets the whole world and loses his own soul? And he looked at that young man and he said, one thing you lack, give up everything. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful because he asked too much. What's the last time God ever asked you to give up something and you thought it was too much to give up? Come on, church. He told Abraham, and I've had a lot of people ask me questions about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham went to the mountain. I fully believe he went there with the purpose of getting rid of Isaac. He was going to kill him. Had no intentions of taking him back until he had killed him. But notice what he told him at the bottom of the mountain. Stay here. The boy and I will return. And I've had people say, well, how could he ever give up his son? Well, he'd already given up one. This is just the second run. He'd already let Ishmael go because God told him to. Now he said, give me the other son. He said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll give him to you. Amen. See, when you give up things for God, it gets easier to give up things. Hello? There was a time in my life I had someone draw a line in the sand in front of me. Fred and I got married. I had a pretty good job. I made pretty good money. Matter of fact, in 1975, I was making real good money. I go to work one morning, and the guy looked at me sort of funny, and he said, you got to work Saturday. I said, I can't. I'm going to New Orleans Friday afternoon to preach, and I won't be back till Sunday night after church. It'll be late. I'll be back again Monday morning, but I won't be here Saturday. I don't work on Saturday. He looked at me, and he said, if you're not here Saturday, ain't no need in you coming in Monday. I said, I can fix a problem for you. He said, what's that? I said, see ya. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm out of here. He said, you mean you're going to choose ministry over a job? I said, sir, this is my life. This is a job. I can replace the job. I can't replace the life. And this is what I've given my life to. And I will follow it. And if I starve, I'll follow it starving. But I'm staying where I am because this is what I want. And church, we've got to come to that place. You say, well, you're a preacher. It doesn't matter who you are. If there's anything in your life that's more important to you than God, it's time you have a crucifixion and get rid of it and let God become number one. He said, oh, you've got it going for you, but you still lack something. You've got to make me number one. Glory. Glory. Listen, Luke chapter 10. You got one thing that's desired, one thing that's lacked. Notice this. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So now, we've got one thing desired, one thing lacked, but now we got one thing that is needful. Jesus has showed up at the house, and Martha's cooking, and she's fixing, and she's, oh, we're going to have a great meal. Fried chicken. Oh, that's Christian, so you got to have chicken. Glory. You wouldn't want to serve deviled ham and deviled eggs to God. Glory. Devil's food cake. So she's in there cooking, and notice what he said. Remember what I said careful means? You're worried. You're all worried about everything going on, but you haven't forgotten about the one thing that's necessary. Your sister is not worried about whether or not we're going to have a great meal. She's worried about whether somebody's going to worship me while I'm here. She's worried about if somebody's going to lift me up. And notice, she's sitting at my feet listening to everything I say, taking in every word I've got while you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And it doesn't really matter. Because let me tell you something, we're going to eat when time comes to eat. Because if you ain't got it cooked, I can make it. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? One thing is needful. We need to get to that place where we understand it's more important to worship God than anything else we got going on in our life. When we come to church, it's great. If we come here and we have a great service and we hear great preaching, but if we come and we do not worship Him and we don't understand who we came for and why we're here, then we've wasted our time walking through that back door. We ought to come through that door with a made up mind. I'm here to worship. If nobody else worships, I'm going to worship. I'm here to get at the feet of Jesus and receive a Him. If nothing else happens, I'm here because I want to know Him like I've never known Him before. We get all upset about when Jesus went into the temple and started throwing the tables over. He was more upset with the people buying than He was the people selling. Because those people buying were not preparing to worship. They were showing up upset because they didn't get their last cup of coffee. Because they didn't get up in time to get ready. And they blowing in the door at the last minute buying them a dove because they didn't prepare a worship. They just go run in and shortchange the worship and hope it works. Oh, I know I didn't have to do that, but the truth's the truth. We come in here on Sunday morning with our mind on everything but God. We come in here and sing songs and clap, and every once in a while we get a little excited. But what would happen if we walked in here on Sunday morning and we came prepared, because every time from the time we got up till we got here, we were working on getting ready to worship God, getting ready to lift Him up, and we came through that back door with a made-up mind. Today, I'm going to worship Him. Today, I'm going to receive from Him. Today, I'm going to get something from God. It doesn't matter who likes it and who don't like it. I'm just here to worship Him. I'm just here to bless Him. I'm not worried about who shot who yesterday on the news. I've turned my phone off, and I'm not keeping up with social media. I don't care what they're saying about me on the next road or the day before, what somebody's doing against me and behind my back. All I know is in Him I live, in Him I move, and in Him I have my being, and by Him I'm a conqueror of everybody coming against me. And for that reason, I got a needful thing. I want to come to Him and worship Him. Now we've got one thing desired, one thing lacked, one thing needful. Notice in John 9, and He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Ah, it's the Sabbath day. And Jesus had the audacity to work on the Sabbath day. And the guy told me one time, said, you shouldn't work on Sunday. I said, dude, that's the only time I really have to get with it. I work all week long. Truth is, y'all don't pay me to preach. I do this because I love it. Y'all paying me for all this other stuff I do. Because I don't love it. Hello? I enjoy going to visit people in the hospital, praying for them. It's that other stuff. The diaper changes. And he said, man, what diapers he changed? Had a young man ask me the other day, said, how you like pastoring? I said, I quit preaching and started running an adult nursery. Smile. There are times I walk in this building and I feel like I could whip the whole world. By the time I make my office, I feel like the whole world's whipped me. I come to church sometimes, ain't got a care in the world, and something's going on that causes my whole day to go upside down. And it's not that I have a problem with that. And not all of it's got to do with y'all. I mean, it ain't been that long ago, come in, heard somebody on the property doing something they wasn't supposed to be doing. I got to go deal with it. Hello? And I'm still praying for a refrigerator upstairs. And if you don't know why, just walk in sometime and listen. It sounds like it's tearing the floor out up there. It's been doing that for 6 months. It's still working. Lord. Amen. Because I'm praying for it because we ain't got money to buy another one. Hello? All that just goes along with being who I am. I love preaching. I love doing those things. But you know what? Jesus comes in on the Sabbath and does something, and the religious folks, they want to wear him out so bad, they take exception to it. And they go get the guy, and they go try to get him to testify against him. Said, don't you realize there's no way he could have healed you? He's a sinner. He did this on the Sabbath. He looked at him, he said, dude, all I know is I've been blind from my birth. He spit on the ground, made mud, put it on my eyes. I washed, and all I can tell you is now I can see, sinner or no, he healed me. And because of that, I'm going to give him the praise for who he is, because I know that he is the God that set me free. Can I tell you, church, there's a lot of things in this world I don't know, but I know without a doubt I got a God that can break bondage and set you free and deliver you in the midnight hour. He said, this one thing I know, y'all couldn't do it, but he did. Glory. Hallelujah. I can tell you one thing I know, the world couldn't give it to me, but he could. So you know what? I'm following him because he's got the answers. Notice what the lady at the well, she didn't say exactly the same thing, but it's basically the same. She said, all I know is he told me everything. Glory. Some of you are scared because you don't want him to know everything. Glory. Smile. So we got one thing that we should desire, one thing that's lacked, one thing that's needful. One thing is to know. But notice what Paul said. He said, this one thing I'm going to do. It's not spiritual. God's not going to send a lightning bolt and fry me and make it all go away. But of my own choice, I choose to let it go and follow him. I'm going to release the success and the failures of the past into God's hands. I'm going to reach forward and grasp hold of a God and the will for the future. And I'm going to keep pressing until I get to the eternity he's promised. Glory. So what are you talking about, preacher? It's my choice to say, hey, yesterday don't matter no more. I can't go back and fix it. I can't undo it. But I got a God that's gotten rid of it. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. Old things passed away. All things have become new. And now that I'm new, I'm not worried about that anymore. All I'm worried about is the will of God for me right now. Hello? Well, what's the will of God? It's whatever he last told you to do. Well, God's never spoke to me. Then read his book. He'll talk to you while you read. I've been watching some old TV shows, which I do all the time, but I got one called Star Trek I've been watching. And they have a prime directive. And they don't deviate from that directive. What would happen if the church did that? If we understood our prime directive? Go into all the world seeking those who are lost. Huh? What would happen if the church really woke up and realized, I'm not just a pew setter. I should be an earth walker. Hello? Some of y'all look at me like, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I'm 80 years old. I don't care how old you are. It's time some of you woke up and realized if you got breath in your life, there is a soul you can reach. I learned bus ministry from an 85-year-old woman, like, put me in a grave. Now it's 20. I told Brother Hall, I said, I'm tired of going to Mississippi. The woman's killing me. He said, she got that much energy. I said, dude, she's like the Energizer Bunny multiplied. 140 something people a week coming in on them buses, and she wasn't happy. She kept hitting the preacher up over there for another bus. Hello? We got too many Joshuas. I'm 85 years old. I'm quitting. We need a few more of his buddies. Caleb, who said, hey, I'm the same age as you are, but I'm fit to go take that mountain over yonder. You want to go with me? Okay, if not, I'm doing it anyway. And it's time some of us woke up and realized it is not the preacher's place to win souls. It is not the teacher's place to do something. Everybody in this building has been called to a royal priesthood, and every one of us needs to understand the will of God for us is the prime directive for every Christian, that every person you pass is not saved. See something in you that'll change their life and let them know there is a God that loves you and cares about you and can help them. I'm fixing to close. Pressing for the eternal reward. I went with Brother Hall to visit a guy one time. Lord, he was peeling wallpaper off the wall talking to us. And he didn't apologize. He didn't think there's anything wrong with it. And if y'all don't know what that means, it meant every 2 or 3 seconds there was a cuss word popping out of his mouth. And I mean, they were just normal vocabulary for him. And he was dropping all kind of bombs. And Brother Hall was talking to him, and I'm sitting there going, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said some words I didn't even remember. He retired Navy man. He's laying in a bed, heat up with arthritis, can't get out of the bed. Hands won't move. His hands are locked. His feet are twisted and snarled. And he's laying there in that bed, and he's bitter, and he's mad. And he's cussing like a sailor. When he left, Brother Hall said, hey, let's go see him again next week. I'm like, Brother Hall, I got to go home, take a shower, and pray while I'm in the shower just to feel clean again. We go back the next week. I think Mark went with us when we went back, Brother Wayne. So I'll never forget, he was sitting there going, we're wasting our time, preacher. I'm thinking the same thing. I just didn't have the gall to say it. Brother Hall said, nope, we're going to get this guy. The old man got saved one day while we were visiting with him. And we'd go see him after that, and he was a total different person. He's still laying in the bed and all that, but he got a whole new way of looking at things. Man, it was awesome to see the change in his life. And not long till he got to where he would go over there and he'd be sitting in the living room in a wheelchair. He's out of the bed. Then they roll him in church. And I'll never forget, they rolled him in the church and he's sitting back there and he's all upset and crying one night. Brother Hall went to him. He said, what's wrong? He said, Brother Hall, I can't even lift my hand. Praise God what he's done. That's just not right. Brother Hall prayed for him. Next thing you know, hands up there. He's praising God. And they actually straightened out. We was in there having church one night, and y'all got to understand something. When we had church, we had church. Youth choir get to singing, Holy Ghost get to moving. The youth choir would have to quit singing because most of them be down in the floor running aisles and shouting and falling out. And the choir director would have what few was up there. Brother Jackson got upset and he said, it ain't right. I got a lot more to praise God for than they do, and I can't get out of this wheelchair. All of a sudden, one night he come out of that wheelchair and went running down that aisle, and he went, whoa! He couldn't run good, but he was moving. It wasn't long he was coming to church without the wheelchair. Then he's over there, and buddy, he was really uncontrollable when he didn't have nothing to hold him back. So he shows up one day, bus ministry. He wants to go with me on a Saturday. We're in a new area. In bus ministry, you knock on the door and you ask people if they're in church, and you're doing like you're doing a survey to find out if you've got prospects you might pick up. And I knocked on this door and I said, sir, we're with the Church of God. We're doing a survey. Do you attend church? He said, yes, I'm a Baptist preacher. Brother Jack looked at me and said, well, we won't hold that against you. You can come to our church, get saved. I looked at him and said, Brother Jack, that ain't necessary. He closed the door. Brother Jackson turned and said, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm shaking the dust off my feet as a testimony against that dude. Oh. But if you attended that church to the day that man died, you didn't have a problem figuring out who Brother Jackson was.
He would shout. He'd praise the Lord from the time he walked in. And let me tell you something. You'd talk to him about his life, and he'd look at you and say, ain't nothing about me but what happened the day I got saved. That's all I need to tell anybody, because this one thing I'm going to do, I'm letting go of yesterday. All I know is I've got something in front of me, and I'm running toward it. And I'm not quitting until I get there. And I keep pressing, and because he pressed, God began to bring him out. God began to deliver him. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you need to get to that idea. There's one thing I can do. I can let go of what used to be. I can let go of yesterday. I've got a tomorrow. I've got a right now, and I'm going to reach out for God and do everything I can for him, and understand that if I do, there creates for me a crown of righteousness on the other side, a place of glory on the other side, where there's no more pain, no more heartache, no more problems, no more trouble, no more trial, but joy that is unspeakable. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence in this house tonight. God, touch us with your glory. Move on us, Father, with your power. Master, in Jesus' precious name.